Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's hold our hands and say this was our Father.
In the name of Jesus, we receive
clarity, insight, void of errors, as your word is taught us till tonight in its clarity. We receive it as the word of God and walk in the light of it. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Matthew 28. You know, as believers, sometimes we could,
along with E.W. Kenyon will put it in one of his books,
Two Kinds of Knowledge. He said there are two kinds of knowledge. He said there is sense knowledge and revelation knowledge. Hallelujah. So we are, most times, as believers, we could never, okay, let me put it this way, never fall into that trap of knowing when it comes to scriptures. You know, it's good to know something about, I mean, to know a little bit about everything, right? But when it comes to scripture, you can't take such gambles. You can't have head knowledge about things of the scriptures. Hallelujah. And it must be very vital. I mean, this is very vital. Amen. You can't have sense knowledge. You know, I was sharing with us, that was on Sunday, about how, okay, no, on Saturday, that was last week Saturday, about how Job knew God. You know, you now find out that most times, most of what some people even quote, were quoting from Job. Job said he never knew God by revelation. He knew God by hearsay, what people said. You see that? So Job's knowledge of God was hearsay, what people said around, familiar opinion. So Job will say, God give it and God take it. And it was not from God. God never told him to say that. Amen. So he said, now he said that he knew God by the hearing of the ear. Did you see that? So he only knew God on the wayside. That's what it means. You can say, he's in Job. The Bible says you pack up, you know, we know that for, so we want to deal with some certain kind of people, yes, but he said you pack up gold as dust. You know, some people pack back it and all that is dust that they found in this though. Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. The Father is not too early. Let's heal first. Glory to God. You are healed in Jesus' name.
Glory to God. Pack up good last God. There is in the scripture. Well, the person you're quoting said at the latter end, he said, no. All those things I've said earlier, well, me knowing God by familiar people. And sometimes some believers know God like that. I remember having to stand up to some people around 2003 to confront somebody. He came out to preach in class and then he said something like, heaven help those who help themselves. No, that wasn't just three. Yeah, so around 2002. So he said, heaven help those who help themselves. And I said, no. In fact, when I raised up my hand, I said, no, you're wrong. He said, no, heaven help those, because we were about to write exams. And then he said, heaven help those who help themselves. So read. You want to tell us to read, tell us to read. So those are the senior. And I didn't want to tell us to read. Don't tell us to help those who help themselves. He said, no, he's telling this free. I said, show me where it is in the scriptures. That heaven help those who help themselves. And he couldn't get there. He said, don't worry, I'll show you. Then he now used seniority to pass on. I said, don't worry, after the class, I'm going to see you to show you. He ran away. Can't show me that. Amen. Hey, you heard it on the way back. Amen. You can't know God. Listen to me and hear me well. You can't know God by hearsay. Okay, hear me. So a believer must not fall into that trap. You must not fall into that trap where your opinion or the things you know about God is by what people have as popular opinion. The fact that a liar like this, this is by Pastor Chris Oyakhilome, he said the fact that a liar has been on the throne for several years doesn't make it true. And that's the truth. The fact that the lie has been enthroned doesn't mean the lie is true. Lie can never be converted to truth. Hope you hear me. No matter how long it has been a popular opinion. Hallelujah. Similarly to people who have similar opinions too for God when it comes to material wealth. Hope you hear me. So we are dealing with Christian faith and material wealth. Hallelujah. Should it, is it good for a Christian to be rich? Material wealth? Is it good? Some people say, no, it's not good. Some people say, it's good to be poor. They say, blessed are the poor hearted. What nonsense is that? Blessed are the poor in heart. You better give yourself brains. What's the meaning of that? No, it's not good to be rich. The Bible says a rich man cannot go through. Come on, what are you not saying? God wants you poor, God wants you rich. What's the meaning of that? And many times, people, a lot of people that say these things, they don't have proper biblical explanations. Okay, anyway, the moment you have an opinion about something in scriptures that you've not read thoroughly from the scriptures, not trying to use your opinion to sort it out. You know, sometimes some people want, they have an opinion and try to force it on the Bible. No. Amen. You don't force your opinion on the scriptures. Okay, hear me. You don't force your opinion on the scriptures. If you do that, you're going to find a lot of contradiction. You receive some punches at some certain point. And you just try to, you know, you use big man or use skills to try to overcome it. But that's not true. Amen. You allow the scripture interpret itself to you. Hope you hear me. Don't have opinions about God. So say God give it and God take it. What nonsense stuff is that? Amen. That's not from God. Not from God. That was a popular opinion. Amen. So we're looking at Christian faith. Matthew 28 from verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. So go therefore, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now it says, teaching them. You see that? Teaching them. So that means it's primarily that you have taught God's word. You have taught God's word. Now, some people get taught God's word, and they don't get back to those teachings again. Some people get taught God's word. They don't go back to their teaching notes again. Their teaching notes because when they draw Mickey Mouse after the note is zero. Just because when they draw Mickey Mouse and draw Nigerian flag. They don't go back to it anymore. No, it's a wrong habit. Amen. Many times, when you listen to a message or when you are around for a message the first time, doesn't mean you get the message. Hallelujah. The fact that you hear your pastor preaching, I was there, I was sitting down and I heard pastor minister, doesn't mean you got it the first time it was preached. Amen. Sometimes what your pastor has taught you, you have to listen to it again and again, even up to 10, 15, 20 times before you really get what he's saying. And that's all we have this message is out there for you to listen to. Amen. Amen. You have to keep listening to it again. Your mind is not renewed because you read it the first time or you listened to it the first time. You have to listen to it again and again. You renew your mind. Hallelujah. You renew your mind always again. Hallelujah. And Paul said to Timothy, I put you to remembrance. You must put God's word. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Always stay with God's word. Renew your mind. So it's a teaching. So teaching becomes a very vital tool. A very vital part of the Christian meeting. Teaching. You mustn't toy with it or joke with it. You have teaching them to observe. Now when you use the word teaching them to observe, all that have commanded and law which you are reserved to the ends of the age. We said that Jesus was reading from the Old Testament book, something you must never lose sight of. Amen. So that means scripture is not something that you pick at back. It's not something you read from the Genesis. You read everything together. You must appraise scripture together. You'll find Luke said this in Luke 24:45. He says, and he opened the ear understanding that they might tsunami comprehend the scripture. Tsunami means they gave what Jesus did was to appraise scriptures together for them. Amen. He appraised scripture together. He read through the scriptures together. They saw scriptures together as one thing. That is how he was with the Bible. Hallelujah. So I told you that your study time is not glancing time. You just glance. No, it's when you give yourself to total study. Hallelujah. If you are going to spend 1 hour, 2 hours on study on the go, then there's a problem. Amen.
Lord, spend at least 2 hours when you are with your notes and you are reading your notes. A teaching your pastor taught you for 1 hour 15 minutes and you go went through it within 10 minutes, then there's something wrong with you. Amen. You have to open those scriptures again. Don't say, okay, pastor read Luke 1:7. Luke 1:7, okay. And nodding your head. Do you think you are doing verbal reasoning or you are trying to do social studies where you are cramming demerit, disadvantage, you are reading, you are opening your Bibles. Hallelujah. You are checking it again. You are checking what pastor, not to fault your pastor, so that you would know this thing pastor has said. Okay, this is it here. Amen. You are looking at it, you are opening the scriptures, and you are appraising scriptures to you.
Open your heaven.
Hallelujah. So you must take it serious. You must take the teaching of God what serious. You must take it very serious. Very, very serious. I know what I'm telling you. Take it very serious. You can't know God by faith. You can't know God by what people say. What people are, what you have as public opinion about God. The word of praise is this. The praise is when you praise God, when your praises go up. What comes down?
What comes down?
Okay, when your praises go up, blessing comes down. They want to move God. When you pray, God sits. When you praise, God comes down. What nonsense? So if you have it in the Bible, look at it now. Let me show you. Oh yeah, go. Stand. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Did you see God came down? Give yourself breath. Then your praises go up, blessings come down. What is blessing? Is it, are you not be shocked that I have taught you blessing over and again? What is blessing? What is the blessing of God? The blessing of God is the Spirit of God in your heart. The forgiveness of sins. That's God. That is God speaking well of you. Amen. When praises go, blessing comes down, and the blessing you are thinking of is, you did this for exam, you went to write the exam, you are thinking the exam will turn from F to A. Come on now. You fail. You are carrying over. You repeat the class. You say, I'm a child of God, I cannot repeat. Don't read, you will repeat. It's not hard. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. It's not very simple. See? I know that I love you, welcome me when I put on my dancing shoe. Take it dancing shoe or gospel shoe, anyone? Heaven help you. Heaven help those who help themselves. Nonsense talk. Hallelujah. So we began looking at the Christian faith. Have a whole lot to cover today. The Christian faith. So we said the Christian faith, I'll just give us a few things that I've said. The Christian faith is not about going to heaven, right? Is that what we said? Okay, this is the seventh session, right? The Christian faith is not about going to heaven. Hallelujah, we said something like that. That rather, we said the Christian faith is about heaven, but not about going to heaven, right? It's about heaven in all the earth. It's about heaven in all the earth. So, it's not about going to heaven, but it's about heaven in all the earth. Hallelujah. I was there. We looked at a few things about the Christian faith. Hallelujah. That in Christ we have received the blessing. Right? The blessings are in Christ. And that's what we receive. In Christ. Is the acceptance that we have received. Hallelujah. So we're not looking at material wealth. Amen. You know, just thinking about it, I say, when I look at how the amount of time I spent on material wealth, I'm like, why not just name it? Also just name this material wealth. Yeah, well, because I've always taught you about your Christian faith. So I want you to see in good shape. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Material wealth. So we're going to look at material wealth. Hallelujah. So we said, first of all, we said also that the Christian faith is about God's tax in all the earth, right? God's tax in all the earth. And we said we are His abad, right? Our tax is abad. Abad. To dress, to keep, priest. We are priests. I said that to us. We are priests. I'm not a priest. I'm a priestess. You like be anything. It's your own call. But it is priest. It doesn't like And the Christian faith is, you are king. He says, sir, I'm a king. I'm not a king, I'm a queen. I don't know what your problem is. But you just need to shut that appetite off so that you don't become a feminist. I'm a queen, I'm not a prince. No.
I'm a daughter, I'm not a son. No. You are all sons. We are all sons. Hallelujah. We are all kings. We are all priests. Hallelujah. Who are following me? We are all. There is nothing like male or female. No. We are all
kings, priests,
sons. Hallelujah. Who are you hearing me? There's no male or female, gender equality. No. There's nothing like that. Amen. Glory to God. So, like I said, we're looking at material wealth. And we said, Jesus didn't teach against being rich. So that Jesus didn't teach against being rich. Very vital. Jesus didn't teach that you shouldn't be rich. But rather, what he taught against was trusting in riches. You shouldn't trust in riches. And we said, how do you know you're trusting in riches? We're going to see more of that today too. Is, first of all, a man that trusts in riches, it affects his generosity. It changes how you view people.
When all of a sudden, you're not going to talk to people anyhow because you've gotten small change. You know that you're trusting in riches.
Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So today we'll be answering some questions. I pray we'll get to those questions. Question like, does God make people rich? We're going to answer that. And as I teach you, you get to see this answer. Hallelujah. Does God, you know, many a times, you hear people sit at home and say, I know he showed us something. The Lord has given us to prophets. Did you remember that? What I said about that? Right? We're not talking about teaching you to prophets. We're not talking about material prophecy. Right? Very simple. We're just reading context is what we're talking about. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you know, some people think God is the one that would teach, that would make them rich. And they end up being poor all through their life. And they think, and then at some point they've tried and tried. Even the little one they don't carry it back all together and give to some people called prophets. The prophets prophesy. See, those guys are using your ignorance. They know that you're ignorant. So they use it. Amen. You tell you buy perfume. Rob perfume so that you attract money. How? How? I know Malam perfume to attract flies. Or you say buy perfume to attract money. What kind of nonsense is that? Hallelujah. They play on your ignorance. And maybe God just wants you to. God just wants you to be rich now, you serve him. What kind of nonsense is that? And in fact, I want to say the same thing when it comes to him. He says, maybe the reason why I'm sick is because God wants me to be humble. How can God try to humble you? How would you say such a thing? How do you even view God? Anybody that says that is somebody that has not been attending Revelation of God series or has not listened to that message. God is not listening to the message just once. The message you must always have with you, listen to it from the introduction. Because it sets a pace for you. Amen. Always listen to message. Most people, if you're not listening, you'll be saying, making such kind of assumptions. So we want to look a bit on that. Does God make people rich, really? Well, very simple to answer. Does God help people to pass exams? I saw the question in my dream. Answer it now. I saw it in my dream. Answer it. He said, as I was writing, some people can make such kind of, let me share this. I shared this years back about a brother like that. I didn't know he was in the same hall with me, but I heard that incident when I was in the hall. We went to write Posueni, and when I was writing Posueni, I was inside there. Wisdom taught me that, wisdom taught me to pray inside the hall. Just simple wisdom. I said, pray. And I wrote the exam. I read. So he came into the hall and went outside to Kabash. You know, there's a little pray in Kabash. To Kabash. He was praying aloud, praying and praying. Exam has started. And you know, one time, so I was writing my wife and I was in the physics lab trying to read. So I saw the exam was by 2. I came in the morning. Somebody came to call me like 30 minutes after that they started the exam. I forgot my calculator because I wanted to come and check. Forgot my Bible, forgot. I couldn't go back. I was just, hey, exam. So the first man that told me, because it was my call course, and I was like, you can't start. He said, when they already share me, I said, you know what? You can't do that. I was not seeing anybody. I just passed. I just sensed everything. I couldn't go back. I couldn't. That door like that, did no Bible. I collected my calculator. I attended the exam. So this guy went to pray. Exam started. So it was maybe some few minutes to the end of paper. He just came in. Are you ready? I want to talk about Baba and Bashana. Are you sure? That's me. I heard those that are like, it was a year after he came to rewrite the same procedure. They were not sharing this stuff because then they answered. When he came to rewrite the procedure, they announced expected that those that are doing my course will not come to my campus, but then we all wrote in our main campus. So we're not sharing that. But you the guy. I described the whole, you say yes. I said, you're that guy. So how was your result? He said, in fact, over 400 is called 13. 13 over 400. It's not by power, it's not by might. He said, that's what happened. So when he got there, you don't look at the question of Babako, Sarabani, Z. Sarabani, hey, you're not ready, you know what I'm saying? Hey, I said, the spirit of God tried for you, you got that thing. He said, you can have gotten zero. Zero. You have made, you know they will give the highest and the lowest. You will cost for zero, they will call you. They will shake you. They say, I've not seen your life in the whole world. Let the spirit of God try for you. Say, but sir, how can I explain that I went to pray? So I said, this time, I want to write. Pray in the hall, you hear me? And don't pray aloud. Amen. That's so funny. That's it! With all the Holy Ghost! So this you just have to know. And this you should know. Amen. This you know. Anyway, sharing now, just laughing. I know I can't make such mistakes. There's some things too that I did, but I can't make that kind of mistake. Now this is that. You can easily just dismiss it. Some words and say, no. You said you didn't play around. you didn't play around. You have just spoken to the exam. Or like I tell COVID here, go and match your school. Did you match your school? Okay, you have carryover. Your carryover will lead you to extra year. But does God make people rich? Also, what's a question like, is there anything called miracle money? Can I have can I have material, or can I have I want to put it by you. Yes, there's miracle money part, and then there's one round of art. Can I receive a miracle of provisions? Can I receive a miracle of provision?
Does God provide for my needs? Does God provide for my needs?
Amen. So we're going to answer all these questions. So remember last week I said it would be foolish for a believer who says he trusts in God not to trust in God to provide for his needs, right? But I'll expand that for you to see. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So let's start by examining some scriptures quickly because of time. Matthew 7:7. Matthew 7:7. Then I'm going to go straight into what we have today. Matthew 7:7. In Matthew 7, look at this. It says, it says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Say, everyone that asketh receiveth. Everyone that seeketh findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened. It says, of what man is there of you whom if he ask, if he shall ask for bread, he will give him a stone? Or if he ask for fish, he will give him a serpent? If ye have been evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Say, God asks. Ask God for money, God will give you.
Amen. Amen. You know,
I should remember,
when we get to talk about does God provide for us miraculously, I'm going to share some personal experience. I'm going to share some personal experience with you of such provisions.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, I'll have to. Praise the Lord. So when I start teaching and I skip it, somebody should just beckon on me. I might skip it, but I sure will. Hallelujah. Personal experience. Glory to God. Amen. Miraculous. Miraculous.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
So, now, many people read this and say, yes, rather than you ask God. So it's God that makes people rich. Ask him for riches. Is that not what you get here? See, is it? So the Bible says, let me say it to you, ask and it shall be given. Right?
But was Jesus talking about asking materially? What kind of asking is it?
The question you ask yourself, what kind of asking is he referring to here? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, from what we talked last two weeks, and the weeks before, that Jesus taught that material wealth comes from human endeavors. You can't be living around and expect to get material wealth. Amen. Amen. It comes from human endeavors. We can be right. Some people make money through the right way or the wrong way. We find all that in the scriptures, right? But you find that it was not God that done it. Did you see that? So we discover that material wealth comes from human endeavors. And though last time too I showed you that we are warned from scriptures not to get money, not to get wealthy illegally, right? Right? So we must get wealthy within the confines of the law. Hope you're hearing me. Amen. You saw the guy that had 5 talents, 3 talents, and 1 talent, right? Right? I don't know, some people are saying, even Jesus mentioned that he got by God. He said, tell me what we want. He said, he will give it to money doubler. Ponzi scheme. Amen. So, actually, he put it there. And he said, so you invested. Invest, you know, invest. Remember it was shiny. You know, you're getting data. You now remember investment. Oh, the light will shine upon you again. Amen. Oh, Pastor. I said it earlier, Pastor. That was healed now. That was to be healed. Amen. Amen. You'll be healed. Actually, God. You'll be healed. Amen. Yeah, let me stress on people's soul tonight. So say from human endeavors, right? Right? Was that what I said? I'm trying to get myself on my notes. Okay, Woman on Davis. So, if you read these scriptures in pre text and post text, you will discover that there was not a place here where he mentioned material wealth. But several people out of context will pick it and use it to deal or to talk about material wealth. Amen. 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 But Jesus never spoke about material wealth here. If we look at how Luke will put it, Luke 11 verse 10, Luke was writing similar stories, similar events, verse 10. Look at what he says in Luke 11, 10. Luke 11, 10. He said, for everyone that accepts receiveth. Can you see that? Everyone that accepts receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Did you see that? Then said, if a son shall ask bread of you, that is his father, will you give him stone? Or if he asks for fish, will you give him serpent? Or if he asks for egg, will you give him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gift unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give to you or give the Holy Ghost? Did you see that? To them that ask him. Did you see that? Did you see that? So what is being asked for here? The Holy Ghost. Did you see that? What is being asked for here? The Holy Ghost. So it's not asking for things. This guy said the Heavenly Father will give the Holy Ghost to him that asks for it. So the asking there is not for money. It's not for... Okay, follow you. The asking is not for money. It's not money for bread. It's not money for egg. It's actually the Holy Ghost. Amen? So Jesus wasn't teaching material asking there. Okay, follow me. Jesus wasn't teaching material asking there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in the case of Matthew didn't mention the spirit, but he never also implied material things. But he implied the spirit, though he didn't mention it. That's why you have to read in context. So if a smart student of the scriptures will not jump to Matthew 7 to read. No, I taught you that the teaching in Matthew 7 started from where Matthew 5. Right? Matthew 5 into 6 into 7. So, a good student of scripture will start from Matthew 5 to read. Amen. So, we're going to go back again to read. Glory to God. So, when you read context, you will see it was material. Let's see it. Let's start from Matthew 6. Let's see a few things from Matthew 6. Before I begin to talk about Acts, let's see Matthew 6. In Matthew 6 from verse 6, look at what Jesus said. He says, they asked him a question about prayer. He said, when you pray, enter into your closet. Are you with me? Okay, no, let's start from verse 9. He said, after this manner, therefore pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, what we call Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, say, hallowed be thy name. Watch that. Hallowed be thy name. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, give us this day our daily bread and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know, there's stop first. Let's examine that. You know, when we say forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. So God's forgiveness is conditional based on how you forgive. No, that's actually I call it a translator bias, or is actually from the translation. Hallelujah. Because when you look at that word, as we forgive, in the Greek, is a word that has different connotations of meaning. It also means, it's not actually as we forgive. Look at it originally. It says forgive our debts, so we forgive our debtors. Isn't that? So the way God has forgiven our debts, we mirror it in how we walk in law, forgiving others who offend us. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Now, get back to verse 11. I mean verse 10. It says, thy kingdom come. Okay, sorry, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Use the word thy kingdom. That was a very strong proverb there. I mean, a very strong pronoun there. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom. Your kingdom come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your kingdom come. It doesn't say thy will. I'm sorry. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, give us this day. Hallelujah. Now when you use the word give us this day, it makes us look as if it's a request. And many people read that verse, give us this day our daily bread, and say, I used to remember years back when we were a bit smaller, my mom would tell us, when my dad goes to work, I was like, how long is that? They say, daddy has gone to look for daily bread. So when we pray, we now say, give daddy this day his daily bread. If not, we don't eat bread at all. For me, I like bread. Why won't God give my dad the daily bread? How will I eat bread? Amen? Isn't that? So, many people think daily bread there means your job. Amen? Your job. Give us something to eat. So, my daily bread today. Some people use it for material things, but that's not what it means. Hallelujah. First of all, they see it as a request, but that's not a request. It's actually a statement of fact. It's not, so the way the Greek puts it is not give us this day our daily bread. No. He says you. Okay. Let me read the way I have it. Yeah. He says, it's not a plea. Give us this day. It's actually you give us this day the daily bread. It's like you give us. Not please Lord give us. No. You give us this day the daily bread. Now when you use the word daily bread there, the word daily bread there, hallelujah, when you use the word daily bread there, is a word used for tomorrow's bread. Stop. Before we get to that, let's see, they give us this day. So when you use the word this day first, this day will be the day of his resurrection. I've shown you, that is his day. Amen. So how does Jesus use the word this day? In my day. Isn't that my hour? In that day. So that is give us this day will be in the resurrection. So in the resurrection, what we will have is the daily bread. Isn't that the daily bread? So what is the daily bread? Is it every day? Okay. Gone are the days where we used to have winner's bread. Or just a winner's bread. Now there are several breads. In fact, then we used to, I want to eat winner. Yeah? Nowadays, you just go give me the one with red nylon. But you don't know the names then. Give me one blue nylon. Give me some in bread. Give me some in bread. Give me some in bread. Hey, big man, you're eating winner's bread. You know winner's bread? They sell it at the back of your house. Inside boots. Let me explain it for you. Amen. Okay, give us the daily bread. Shawarma bread. Coconut bread. Which one again? Eh? Lambano bread. Okay, value bread. Yeah, people that eat bread. Suya bread. Okay, let's continue. Amen. Daily bread. So what does it mean when it says daily bread? Now that word daily bread from the Greek, it means tomorrow's bread. It's actually used for a bread that lasts, a bread today that lasts for tomorrow and forever. So it was not referring to bread that you choose. It was referring to eternal life. Okay, hear me. It was referring to eternal life. Say, give us this day eternal life. Or put it like this, you give us eternal life on your day. You see that? So that means in the resurrection, what do we have? The daily bread, which is eternal life. Did you see that? Amen. So when you put that side by side, what you ask in chapter 7, it is what? Eternal life. The Holy Ghost. What are following me? Eternal life, the Spirit. That's what we receive in his day. Hallelujah. You give us this day eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. So what would you now have in eternal life? Remember I showed you, if you read Luke 24, right? Repentance and remission of sin. Is that what we receive in his day? Luke 24:47. Although the Christ was someone who entered into the beginning, that, I mean, although the Christ was someone, how am I reading? Although the Christ was someone who entered into his glory. Right?
How am I reading?
I don't think they understand that they might comprehend the scripture.
And suddenly this we see, but this is, and suddenly behold Christ who suffered to write something there the second way.
And that repentance and remission of sins. This is that they preach in his name. So when a man gets saved, what he has received is the forgiveness of sins.
Did you see that?
So what is eternal life? What is the effect of eternal life? Our sins are forgiven. What is the effect of the Spirit? Or what is the result that will have the Spirit?
We'll have our sins forgiven.
Hallelujah. So forgiveness, like I said to us last week Sunday, I said forgiveness of sin is not what we ask, is not what we ask for. How did I put it? Okay. Forgiveness of sin is what we receive in the new race. Put it that way. Let me not add the other part. Forgiveness of sin is what we receive in the new race. Hallelujah. It's not what we pray for continuously, or rather what you receive in the new world. Hallelujah. So Jesus now says, you give us this day the daily bread. Is that eternal life? Or is it value bread? Is it eternal life or value bread? Did you say value bread? Is it eternal life or value bread? Yes, eternal life. Now you give us this day eternal life. So what is the effect of eternal life? Verse 12. Come on. Matthew 6:12, and forgive our debts. Do you see that? Amen. So what do we receive when, what is the effect of the eternal life? Our sins are forgiven us. Then we now mirror it and now forgive others. Do you see that? You forgive our debts. Hallelujah. Amen. So we will forgive our debtors. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. So we mirror God's forgiveness of sins in our love walk. So John gives us a clearer explanation of the word daily bread. Of the word bread that came from heaven. Did you see that? The bread from heaven. John chapter 6. John will call it the bread that came from. It's not on this, it's not the same teaching, but John has records Jesus teaching them on the bread that came from heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. John 6:33. Let's see John. John 6:33. Are you there? The long is a very long reading. But I'll start on 33. And we'll read in 36 first. 33. And then we'll check it off again. 33. It says, for the bread of God, which is cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Did you see that? I thought of verse 31. It says, our father did eat manna in the desert, and as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And when then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I said to you, Moses gave you not the bread which is from heaven. Did you see that? Moses didn't give you the bread, but my father giveth you the true bread from heaven. He says, for the bread of God is he. You see that? It shows you the bread of God is a person. Amen. You see that? The bread of God is a person. So, the bread of God is he. You see that? Hallelujah. Which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. You see that? And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Hope you are saying that. I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall not never hunger. He's not talking about you will not be hungry for physical food. No. Therefore you will never hunger. Hallelujah. So it shows you the problem of man in Genesis 1:2 is hunger for God. Amen. So the darkness there, which is spiritual darkness, is spiritual hunger. Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. So man's problem is the hunger from God right from the Genesis. And that is why God offers himself as that solution. Hope you are seeing that. Solution to man's problem. Because man's problem is God. Not drugs. It's God. Not football. It's God. Not nightclub. It's God. Not cultism.
is God, not money.
How many people hear me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They are the bread that came from heaven. And given life unto the world. Verse 35. Say, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say to you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. Did that? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Therefore, I am come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of he that sent me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus makes you see that the bread in
You see that the bread in Matthew 6, when Jesus talks about bread, he was not talking about value bread. He was not talking about living our living bread. He was talking about himself as the bread of life. What we will receive in the new bread called eternal life.
Hope you're saying it. Eternal life. So the bread there is a spiritual reality. Can you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in the sacrifice of Jesus, what we receive is the bread from above, eternal life. Let's get back to Matthew 6. We are dealing with some meat there. Matthew 6. Hallelujah. So the boat
permit me the way I did it. We'll debunk that in verses 11, the bread there wasn't talking about physical bread. Right? Something else a lot of people will miss look at verse 2.
It's just like saying you can't decide the verse from the context, and at the same way too, you can't say we cannot receive provision. Do you understand me? Right?
From God.
Amen. Amen. Are there scriptures that speak about God providing? That is miraculous. We're going to see that. Right?
Yes, there are scriptures that speak to that.
God's miraculous provision. Miraculous, I say to you. Miraculous. Provision. Yeah, that's scriptures. But it doesn't mean you not override it yet.
No.
There are places, so go look for them. Hallelujah. Just very simple. Glory to God. Look at verse 32. He says, for all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Say, yes, can't you see? Seek ye first you, the kingdom of God you, and the righteousness you, all na jara, 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 oh, na jara, food you, na jara, money you, na jara, job you, na jara, you say that, na jara, you shall have it, na jara,
I'm not
a man. I'm going to teach you about greed.
I am.
Amen. Amen. You are not working in a company. You've not
said one word. You are already seen into the mission.
Greed!
You crash.
You can't want to buy family. Greedy
people.
Let's continue. Where were we? Okay. So, many people see this scripture and say it is material provision. Well,
it's just very simple. What is the context before? Right?
And then we'll flow from there. But let's see a few things on that, then we'll look at something else. Amen. Now, look at verse 32 there. It says, for these things do the Gentiles seek. It shows you, when you use the word seek there, I'm supposed to do this after now, but when you use the word seek there, it refers to an uncontrolled habit We're going to go back to verse 26 to see where
Matthew is coming from.
But listen to this. It speaks to an uncontrolled appetite. So when it says the Gentile speak here, it shows an uncontrolled appetite. An unbridled desire. Hope you follow me. So he says, do the Gentiles seek? Right? So for every father knoweth what he, your heavenly father knoweth that he had need of this thing, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. So he's telling you that if you are to have an uncontrolled appetite, it should be over eternal things. Amen. If you are to have
any wild appetite, let it be over eternal things, not after what the Gentiles
seek. Amen. So he showed you this Gentiles seek something. We're going to see that shortly. Hallelujah. 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 So I have in my notes. So rather he says that your uncontrolled habits should be for the things of the spirit. Look at verse 33. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Again it comes again. Added unto you. Well, let's see a few things. In verse 32. He says, these things do the Gentiles seek. So it is in Matthew, but your father knoweth what you have need of. So two things are very vital. What is needed and what you seek. That is what you go after. What is needed and what you seek. What you go after. So when you use the word seek there, the word epizetio. E-P-I-Z-E-T-E-O. Epizetio. Epizetio. When you look at that word in context, what you seek, if you look at it in context of what Jesus is speaking about here, it's used for that which you take thought of. Anxiety. That which you take thought of. Anxiety. So that means what Jesus is teaching here is about anxiety. He's teaching against anxiety. Or you put worrying. Anxiety and worrying. So in the event of anxiety and worry, what takes over money? Or what becomes the master? What you are anxious or you are worried about? So if you are anxious and you are worrying about money, money becomes the master. And in verse 26, Jesus wants, before now, Jesus wants, you can't serve two masters. We're going to see that now. Look at verse 26. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Look at 26. Oh, sorry. I said 26. Sorry. Amen. It's account 24. Okay, 24. He said no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other. This is in context of love the other. Hope you can see that. So we'll get him back there. Hallelujah. 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 So what when you are anxious and you are worrying over money, money becomes the master. And it shows your desire. So when you get back to verse 33, make sure you are looking at what I'm looking at. And he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He therefore tells you that what you should seek after, what should dominate your thoughts, what should dominate your mind, should be the kingdom of God. Did you see that? Not what the Gentiles seek. So what should dominate your mind should be the kingdom of God. Not what the Gentiles seek. We're going to see what the Gentiles seek. Hallelujah. Now what I said, what should dominate? It doesn't mean you shouldn't look or seek for what they seek. Let me not use the word seek, because I told you seek means to worry over something, right? So it doesn't mean that you shouldn't go
for what they go for,
right?
But he said, what should dominate your mind,
what you should think about,
should be the gospel,
should be the kingdom of God.
What am I going to do? Does it mean that I shouldn't tell people about my daily activities?
No.
But we're going to deal with that right now.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The same way, like I said in 24, God said you can serve man and serve mammon. You can't have man and money. You can't have God, sorry, and money. They can't dominate your thoughts together. So he says you can't, look at what he says. He says you can't have two masters. It's either you hate one and love the other. Now when you use the word love, I told you to use the word hate before now.
When you use the word hate, then you need to prefer, right?
Now, when you now use the word love there, love means the word agapao. A-G-A-P-A-O. It implies to esteem. To esteem. And Jesus is teaching here that you can't, Jesus is teaching here when he says you can't serve, is that you love, is that you hate one and love the other? He's teaching here that you must treat earthly things, mammon, money, mammon, lightly. He's not saying you shouldn't have them at all.
Do you see that? But you must treat them lightly and allow God to dominate your mind. Do you see that? So what should dominate? Is it God or money? Yeah? God. Is it God or get rich quick? God. What am I telling you? Is it God or is God?
Amen. Is God? Is it God? No, you know that. So let's get back to Matthew 6. Look at Matthew 6. Look at this. It says, behold. It says, behold the fowl of the air. We need to see this together. It says, behold the fowl of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap. When it says fowl of the air, it's talking about birds too. That is fowl of the air. Hope you understand me. So they are
chicken on the land and they are chicken on the air. It should give you blue.
It says, behold the fowl of the air. Amen. 26. For then they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeded them. And yet not much better than they. Now people use this and use it wrongly. And they can't you see God? That would say God feed the bear.
He sees there. How much more you? Why you see something in there to look for how you're going to walk? You don't do hard work. You do with some work. The Holy Ghost. You are a 419er. You will walk.
Amen.
You will walk. Amen. You're just sitting in your house. God will send. See, can't you see Elijah? God will send radiance. You just look up at the star. You open your cover. You see indomie. You see spaghetti. You see rice. You see beans. You see bread. You see sardine. You see. You open your fridge. Fridge you bought and never put anything inside. You open it. You just say, wow. You should run away from there.
You should run away. Amen. Jasper. Yes, I bet some of you will not be seen. So let's give it to another truth. Now open and see meal. Oh my God. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. Amen. But what is Jesus speaking about here? How many times have you seen God? God come out.
I want to visit. Very funny. It is not funny, but God, when God feed them, ask the person a question, man, I've never seen God stand and all the birds of the air just gather and then he's feeding them. Have you ever seen God do that? So what, that's what you are telling me God is doing. So God has no work. In the morning he'll come, all the birds gather, or fly to the heaven, fly to heaven, fly to heaven. And so when they gather in heaven, we don't give them food. They are going to heaven, go to heaven.
What are you thinking of? I don't know what Jesus is saying here. Amen. Let's see what Jesus is saying. Hallelujah. Look at 27. Which of you? Okay, let's look at that 26 first. So what he's saying here, look at 28. Listen, okay, 27, let me see. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Is that by worrying? Is he worrying? Anxiety, yes. And why take your thoughts for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. And, I mean, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet, I say to you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which to this day is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? What is he saying to them? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he says God clothes the lily, doesn't mean God goes to the field to give them food physically. Rather, he's saying God has made those things available already. Hallelujah. Okay, Polini. God has made those things available already. So the resources have been made available from the beginning. Hence, he says he feeds them. So when he says he feeds them, it shows you he has made it available from the Genesis.
Hallelujah. From the beginning. So what they will feed, what they will feed us, how they will feed has been available. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hope you are following me. Made available. So doesn't God stand and answer, you take everything. Amen. Amen. So here, God is not talking about everyday feeding. Hope you are saying that. Hallelujah. But rather, that the resources for them to feed on has been made available. Imagine with all these things,
with all the school you go to and say God used to show up to feed them. And then in school, you're going to do integrated science of biology. And then they will teach you multiplication, how to make you use animal or whatever. Food chain, God bless you. Hey, this is right. Eh? Yeah. Eh? Ah! And you know, food chain. Look at that demon that killing people. Look at that.
Food chain, thank you.
Food chain. Now, yes, you can argue the scientists. They don't put up in it. But I don't think so. And yet, the only man is saying, ah, don't you know food chain? Simple food chain. Amen. People pushing.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's pushing. So God has made the pushing ability.
Did you see that? Wrong time.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. I remember one time that people had arguments in school, in university, and then
we got to talk to them. Let's calculate the amount of cows that they killed per day. Was that the blame of what to feed? The amount of cows they killed, not after them, because when you get cows for, and the cows are not given to more than one or two or three, max three, within 9 months. Cows are the presence of animals like a normal human being. Of course, there are a lot of cows around, and everything in Nigeria is little to know. In Nigeria, you know, they kill more than 20,000 cows. I said, why are you going? They come to see some cows look like human beings. I said, which school did you go to? What do you want this father? Come to see some cows want to see some cows on the crying. They're human beings. The cow. One is gone. Since the one is dying, I'm going to cow. Give yourself brain now. So, you know, most times, when you scout, when you're beating those guys, you're going to remember when you were a human being. Who has done this? And you enter university. You just go back home and say, school is not my portion. Just understand it, Gucci. Solves that out for you.
Crazy set of people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, very vital. God doesn't feed them every day, just so that it has been made available. There is just, it speaks to food chain and everything. So God has sought that out from the beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So material provision is not spiritual. It's not spirituality. No. And the same way too, true prosperity is not about the things that are visible. Or put it like this, true prosperity is not about things, even though it's good for believers to have things. Amen. True prosperity is not about things, but it is good for believers to have things. So the Bible says true prosperity is not about things, so I don't want to have anything. You pay rent all through your life. You know what I mean by rent? Every 2 years they're increasing the rent. They'll be serving you quick notice. Amen. It's good to have things. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's good to have a phone. It's good to have a car. It's good to have a house. It's good. But don't let those things have you. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. Not hope you're having me now. Amen. Amen. You must place caution. Look at verse 33. Let's get back to verse 3. So, let's get back to, this is the main one. He said, but ye seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Right? Wow, my time is up. Let us do justice to this before I go. Amen. So maybe we will misunderstand it to be where you seek the kingdom of God first. Then every other thing will be jara woo jara woo na jara. Yes, everything will not be added. Are you born again? Some people use that to preach. Are you born again?
Do you want to see the wealth of the nation? Having born obedient and obedient, you eat the good of the land. I'm going to teach you that. So what you get, it is not on my notes. It is in my notes. We have also gotten into the depth of what I'm teaching in this series. And I hope we'll get there before September 15th. Amen. Amen. Do you want to eat the good of the land? Do you want to make prosperous? Do you want to be prosperous? Do you want to have money? Let's go again there. If you and the people are preaching, they look, you guys break the land. But it is me, I'll ask you, and on what is he going to get? Is he not doing the good of the land? The good of the land is to have money. You get, hopefully you take your money to it. Is he not doing the good of the land? Or $10, that's not going back. In fact, the one that we show you, $10 looks like, oh, you can still be a Christian somewhere. Okay. No. When it is a leap of faith, when you step into the big house, when God happens, the Lord will not give you one man. And the men of this world, they go up to come down. But you go up and you stay up. Go up to stay up. What is that? They say they go up to come down. Say the wealth of the nations are passed. What do you know is the wealth of the nations? Don't envy them. Every bigger. Don't worry, they'll tell it to you. As what? To whom? For them. But they want in you. So stop talking on them. If you are poor to your people.
Amen. Oh, yeah, they want to be rich, get born again. Who is doing you? What kind of gospel is that? I see the people that are poor. They don't have Christians. If I don't have more, their name is more Christian than you. You don't know. Amen. Amen. So stop it. Glory to God. So seek ye first. So what does it mean? I guess the issue here is more or less where the quotation and what quotation was used. I guess I think it's where there's an issue. Because if you see that seek ye first the kingdom of God, full stop. I guess if you have it like that, it will help us a whole lot. He said, "For seek ye first the kingdom of God." That says, "And this thing shall be added unto you." Take therefore now no thoughts for tomorrow.
Read it together like that. So seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, seek not.
And I'm going to explain that. What does it mean? Now, when you use the word seek ye first the kingdom of God, you use the word the proton. Hallelujah. That means it places importance on the kingdom of God. It places importance on the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It shows you the importance of the kingdom of God. And then afterwards, hope you're following that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus' instruction is not to worry for those things. That's what he's trying to tell you. Not to worry for those things. So when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, he shows the present importance there. Then the other part, he says, and all these things shall be added unto you. He shows you where that actually falls. Whether you seek the kingdom of God or not, right? Whether you seek the kingdom of God or not, you can get those things. Okay,
following
me.
Amen.
Okay, following me. Whether you seek the kingdom of God or not, you get those things. So, you place this purpose on the kingdom of God, not on those things. Is it good to go for those things? So you can go for those things. But don't allow those things to have you. The importance should be on the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And remember, we said material wealth comes from human endeavors. From human endeavors. Material wealth comes from human endeavors. So, you seek the kingdom of God first. Without a Christian faith, yes, that is where your heart must be. That is what you must seek. That is what that should dominate your thoughts. That should dominate your thinking. Amen. Amen. You stay with that. Let it be your mind. Be your mind. Amen. So the material things shouldn't dominate your mind. Is that? That's what it says. But the kingdom of God first. Amen. So all those other things that shall be added, does not mean it will not be given to you. No. Is that you can also go for them, but for the believer, it shouldn't be made or it should be light. You should treat them light. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Very vital. Roll the girl. Can we go to? So what it shows you is that material wealth should be treated lightly. Why? It doesn't last forever. It doesn't last forever. What lasts forever? The kingdom of God.
Material wealth doesn't last forever. People die and leave their wealth, and the children after them just want to mess it up. Don't you know? People have amassed wealth when they are alive. Gather it. And when they die, their children will just the house that they built with gold, they will sell it for 30 million. So they will sell it to go and buy dope and smoke. They will sell it to go and buy drugs. So it doesn't last. Amen. So what lasts is the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what is important. When the epistles were to write about Abraham, not Abraham was very wealthy. They didn't write about Abraham's wealth physically. No. No, they didn't talk about his wealth at all. What they spoke about was his faith. That was last into generation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, you said what last into generation? His faith. His walk with the Lord. So that's what is important. This is how is the important next day? How is the important for the rest of your life? The kingdom of God. Your Christian faith. Seeing heaven in all the earth. That should dominate your mind. Hallelujah. How many men are you helping to grow in the Lord? How many men are you reaching out to? That should dominate your mind. Come here, me. Hallelujah. How many men just got saved through you in a week? That should dominate your mind. Much more.
Hallelujah. Much more. The apostles never spoke about Abraham's wealth, but they spoke about his faith. Paul spoke to us about wealth, how he made wealth. We want to see that next week, from next week. He spoke to how he made wealth, how he was a builder.
Amen. Paul said he was a builder. He built. He said, my hands provided for my needs. And he needs to my hands. Hallelujah. Amen. So show you, Paul's needs were met via his walking. His walking with him. Amen. Not just his own needs, but the needs of others. So that means when I meet the needs of other brethren, it's God meeting their needs through me. Hallelujah. That is God's provision also through the believer. God meets our needs through brethren. I showed us that separately, right? God meets the need of fellow believers through other believers, including through men. So you must trust God. Hallelujah. God meets me. I told you last week. God still meets me. He meets our needs.
Hallelujah. But there's something we must never misconstrue. And we're going to see it next week. God meets needs. But there are some things that you must never do. Hallelujah. When I mean do, there's a certain kind of thought you must never have. God meets needs and it's miraculous. Amen. Amen. But you can trust him to meet your needs. Glory to God. God can use an unbeliever to meet your needs. Amen. Never close the door. Never shut the door. Hope you're hearing me. God can. God makes provisions for us. He does. He does. He does, and he does it well. He must find it. At the same time too, he wants you to walk with your hands.
Hope you have seen that. Amen. Why I trust God for provision? Should I sit and fold my hands? No, I will still walk with my hands. Isn't that? I will still walk with my hands. Glory to God. I will still walk with my hands. What your hands find it to do? I'm a pastor. I'm pastor to the world. I am the pastor. I mean, for now, in this church. Yeah?
Amen.
In this church, I'm your pastor. And I'm your senior pastor. I'm not. If you want to learn any other thing, then go and learn.
Amen.
I don't need to know that word that I hold, but I do. I walk. Sometimes I come back tired. I walk! I don't go to the office and then I just do my hair. I walk for someone. I don't look like this. Come on. I'm not with God. And if it's not like I go to the office, I'll be watching DSP. He was not like he was in the sun. Watching DSP. You will break the TV. But no reason I'm going to adjust the story. I'm listening to international news. with one of my company enter the other and tell me, what are you doing? So I'm listening to international news. Your balance sheet is like this. And your balance sheet was the balance. So you jump up. Your balance, you're playing this TV. You're watching international news. You don't watch it at all. They will sack you. They will try to believe that you sack. The international news was to help me aid my aid and aid staff for Ghana. Maybe not in this teaching, but I'm going to teach those of you who are working. How, maybe I need to change because of time,
But we'll find time to talk about that. Maybe during workers' convention. Just it's more time. It's more time for my break time. Just to have some of you that are workers and are working, have masters, when I mean masters, have courses, have to really work around here. Yeah. But later. Hallelujah. But later. Glory to God. There's a way to work. Don't go there and say, the first day you got a job, you're working around the office. Yes, it's the Lord and the fullness is out. I hate this place. They will take you home. Take you home. You come to my office. I remember, and I close it. I remember somebody went to church one day, a big church, and the pastor was saying, "Where's your hanky? Where's your hanky?" He said, "The job is yours." So was blessing the hanky for that. Blessing the hanky. Pastor from the church. Blessing the hanky. Anywhere you go, rub it on your face. Rub it on your face. You will find it favor. So the guy went for interview. Never knowing that. And one of the interviewers, owner of the business, was a member of that church too. So as I was asking him questions, I was on hot seat. He couldn't answer. You know when you're on hot seat in interview. Some people used to do tertiary interview. You went to military school or airport school, you know what it means to go to interview. Where everything, like people that are more than your father in rank times 10, they're asking you questions I want to enter GS1. I see you want to get job. Asking you different questions as though. So this one is bombarding you, this one is bombarding you. So you are now you don't bother the answer to. Say, as they dig out, ah! You know what I'm saying? You bother me, don't cancel the answer. Cancel, cancel, ah! Who knows that? That was that me, my company. So as you brought out the answer to, they say, Fibon, the man who brought this on my eye to show. Ah! This company. You will learn how to work. Some people don't know how to go for interview. Not just any how to go for interview. Amen. It's a way to treat your masters and masters. Because many of you too, not just that you're going to be done with secondary school to work, but you will be done with, secondary school, with the university to work, or you will be done with university and you'll be owners of industry. Amen. You'll be owners of industry, owners of companies. How do you treat your workers? It's also very vital. I guess during workers' convention, we should just, you should just